Okay, so Jonathan, here's a big question. This one is common, and I think most people know the answer, but let's go with it anyways. Can deer see orange?
No,
Let's
not the color orange.
talk about that. I knew that, but let's talk about what is the difference between, say, blaze orange. I'm wearing it for hunting for gun season here. Blaze orange to a human and blaze orange to a deer.
Well, that's really what bothers me. It's like, how can we see that color so just bold and they can't see it at all? That's what just wore me out. Because, I mean, if we walk around the woods, we're wearing this stuff, we're in a tree, we're everywhere, we're wearing it, we can see each other, but how in the world can't they see us? So, I dug into it. So, really, the difference is we have more cones than they do.
We have more cones, they have more rods. And I want to get into that because, as you guys know, I'm just fascinated by this stuff. Anything with physiology, biology, how a deer works,
I
and
call it
that
the
is
deer nerdy side.
what's that?
The deer nerdy side.
That's exactly right. And I know you're right up that alley.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to talk a lot about this. But he's Jonathan Britton. He's from Texas, down north of Houston, and he his. I know you're a passionate deer hunter. You've been doing this for how many years?
Oh, shoot, at least 20.
20 years. I mean, look at the. That's what they get to hunt down there. They got fallow deer. They've got Sitka deer. The two there, the middle one and the one on the right are.
This one and this one are fallow, and the other one over here is a Sitka.
Sitka. People pronounce it different ways. And then I know Axis deer. I've hunted those down there. It's such a
Yeah.
cool environment. Let's go on a sidebar there for a minute. Because if you're not from Texas or if you never hunted Texas, you think, oh, that's just shooting fish in a barrel, and it really isn't, is it?
No. Depends on the area. So, like South Texas, they have less to eat. So it's going to be more, and you can feed in Texas with corn and things like that. South Texas, it's a lot of low brush, mesquite. I don't want to say deserty, but really kind of like that. So they have less of a food source. So you throw out some corn and it's like dinner bell. Whereas
Right.
East Texas, it's the piney woods, heavy dense forest. They have everything to eat. So that's some hard hunting.
That's
So,
hard hunting. West Texas is a little bit kind of like what you said, scorched earth on some years, right?
yeah. West as well, yeah.
But
South
even
and west.
then, you're hunting ranches that are measured by thousands of acres.
Sometimes it could be 100,000. Like the National Forest I hunt in, the Davy Crockett's 160,000 acres.
Wow. That's insane. You hunt whitetails in there?
Yep.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Okay, so Jonathan, we're going to talk about this near the end of the podcast, but he's come up with an app not only for deer hunting but fish and other game animals on vision, because that's your thing. You're kind of geeky about vision. And we talked about right in the beginning there, okay, we have more cones in our eyes, which allows us that fine detail. Deer have
Correct.
more rods in their eyes, which gives them, I had to look this up, 20 times the vision capability that we have in low light.
Yeah, so the rods let more light in. So they also have the way I see it in my head is just almost like if you grab your camera and you have a panoramic photo, they basically have a panoramic lens and they can see almost kind of like if you put a night vision a little bit. That's in my head anyway. So just the fact that they have those rods in the low light condition. Now, if you see like a full moon, you know how hunters always hate the full moon? That's a sunny day for them.
Right.
But you put them in the sun with those rods, and it's almost like they're blinded a little bit. That's why you don't see them as much. And they can only, you mentioned 20 times, but so one little fun fact is a human can see at 60 yards, a deer has to be 20 yards from it to see
To
the
see
same
the
color.
same thing,
Yeah.
basically, I mean, they're basically the same detail.
Correct, yeah.
So what I can see at, you said 60, is it yards or feet? If it's whatever it is.
Yeah, feet
It's
yards.
three times. They have to be
Yeah.
three times closer to see that detail.
Yeah.
However, when you're talking about like the rods and that light absorption into their eyes, that's why when you're walking out of the woods at night and it's pitch black and you jump a deer and it just goes flying 30 miles an hour through the woods, I'm like, how in the hell, excuse me,
Can
how can they not run into stuff?
I see?
And I'm sure they can, but they can see so well.
And those rods also help them with picking up movement too. So if they're out at that, you know, if they're out there, I guess I'll talk in Texas terms, they're out at the feeder and it's 160 yards or 200 yards out. If you move or something, they can still pick that up. So.
That's a good point. Another one that I've made a lot to Jonathan's point there is how many times have you guys been hunting? You're in a stand, and let's say you're over a food plot or a field where you can see a kind of long distance, and a doe and a couple fawns come out and they're feeding, and all of a sudden, boom, they stop and they look up. And they're, you know, let's say they're 100 yards from you, and they're looking, and it's like they're 100 yards from the field edge. Like, what do they see? And then, you know, 1,000, 2,000, another deer steps out. So
Yeah.
that shows you that just the ability to be able to pick that stuff up at distances. The other thing I wanted to ask you, Jonathan, is the way I've always described it to people is that don't deer see more into like a 2D rather than a 3D? They call them dineural, in the fact that when it gets out to that distance, they don't see the detail, but they see the movement, they see the variations in shades and things like that.
Yeah, we have. I guess I'm going with it. Our vision's binocular, human, and I believe theirs is. I don't want to say monocular because they can't move their eyes independent like a turkey or a hog. But you have to correct me on that one. I don't want to get too far. I'm not a scientist. I'm still a hunter.
Right.
So, but we have binocular vision. So yes, theirs is going to be. I almost see them kind of like they need glasses. They're farsighted. Isn't that right? Where you can't see far, so they have to be up close to
To
see
see the
much.
detail, right.
But they can pick out anything in that blur, I guess they have at a distance, any kind of imperfection that moves with those extra rods, I guess. It's intriguing to me with how much that animal or those animals can see and how they're built to avoid predators. That's what they're built to do, you
Right.
know, any of the animals that aren't a prey, that are a prey, I'm sorry.
Now, I wasn't aware about that about turkeys. I know turkeys have insane vision, but I didn't know that they were independent of each other.
Those things are absolutely crazy. I can go on and on about those, but I mean, the color
Oh,
they
it's
have. So
unbelievable.
they have two rods, three cones, and two double cones, if that tells you anything. They see color on a spectrum that humans really can't fathom, but they have spectrums by research, but it's
That
pretty
is
wild.
crazy. And another fun fact, I dug this up before we come. See, if the more you learn, the more you're going to know. I'm going to be digging up these tidbits, but
Okay.
we can see 7 million different colors,
Didn't know that.
shades of different colors. Now, they say deer and turkeys, well, turkeys has got to be out of this world, as far as the number and the varying shades.
Right.
Because how many times have you guys been bow hunting? It happens to me all the time. You're up in a tree, you're all camouflaged, but I have like yellow and white fletchings. They pick that audience. I mean,
They can
there's
see
no
the
way.
color. You have to ask. We're going turkey hunting. We're leaving tomorrow morning. It's me and my other counterpart, Jesse, and then my daughter's going with us too. So we're gonna go, and it's her first turkey hunt. So we're gonna go out and have a ball. But just right now, I've been picking up First Light is the type of camouflage that I was wearing, you know. They have a good ghillie suit. So I bought a green one, or there are different types of camouflage, but one that'll blend in with that South Texas environment. But I asked the ranch to send me some photos, and I noticed it's green out there. So I'm like, okay, so I need to blend some green. So I'm trying to mesh my camo and everything right now. So I've got a bag full of it because we're gonna get a turkey.
That's awesome. Well,
So
and it's going to be her first.
this, yeah.
How old is
She's gonna
she?
get. She's about to be 19. She's in college
Awesome,
in
awesome.
Houston.
That's fabulous. Well, you're going to have
Sure.
to send us some pictures. So let's talk about camouflage. I'm going to talk about ca let's talk about camouflage, and then I'm going to let you guys in on Jonathan's deal here. What he actually is doing now for part of his work. But how does camouflage make a difference for deer specifically? You talk about blending in a green with a green environment, and I know a lot of guys, and I just smile and let them say what they want to say. Oh, camouflage doesn't make a difference. You can wear blue jeans, or you can do this or that, or you don't need to blend your camouflage in.
Well, that's probably somebody that's sitting in a box blind. So if they're sitting in a box blind, it's right. Just wear a black hoodie and a black hat because you want to blend in with the black in there. Now, if you're out, I like to stalk hunt personally. I love being on foot. I get bored sitting in a box blind staring at a feeder. That's why when you go hunt in the national forest, you have to be on foot. Deer can see the color blue. I think it's 20 times better than a human. So that's going to stand out to them. And then when you go back to the rods and cones, now think about if they can see that color standing out. So if you're wearing that, they're at 100 yards, and let's say that blue is there and all that blur kind of, your silhouette's going to stand out. So yes, camouflage matters. That's why I like the ghillie suits personally, because they have the extra leaves coming off of them, and you don't have as much of the human silhouette, at a distance. Because I'm scared of heights. I'm not gonna lie about it. I mean, you won't find me up in a tree stand climbing. Not my son, he'll climb right up a tree. I'm going, ah, your mom's gonna kill you. But I'm not getting up there, so I have to be on even field with them, So I have to really camo myself. So yes, it matters.
And I know one thing that also matters with camouflage. I've worked with these guys in the almost 30 years I've been here. Everybody at Mossy, everybody at Realtree, everybody at Hunt Stand, and Game Hide, obviously. With camouflage, the pattern is important, but also how that fabric is treated or not treated. Is it not true?
Yeah, you don't want any of that ultra-violent, because for whatever reason, I feel like they can pick up on ultra-violent. It's still research out there. Like, I don't want to deter from a deer, but a duck, they can. So, these deer, if you get into, some of your detergents, you've heard about that, I'm sure, when you wash it. So when I buy these camouflages, I go get that scentless stuff from the store. It seems to work, whichever one, I don't know. I can't remember the name of the brand,
Scent
but they
killer is the
make.
one I use, and it
Yeah.
helps a lot.
I wash it down is what I call it. I'll go in there and wash it three times and just throw them in there and just wash them down with that soap and then dry them a few times, no dryer sheets, and then I'll let them hang outside for a little bit and then throw them in the bag.
That's exactly what I do. You've got to have a detergent that doesn't have UV brighteners in it, because a lot of your, I mean, like, okay, if you're getting Tide or something, even if it's an unscented laundry soap, some of those have UV brighteners, and that's defeating your purpose. The other thing that, now this goes back quite a few years, I won't name names because it's in the industry, but they worked for one of the major camo companies, and they had to have a guy overseas when they were printing or when they were making the clothes, because he said the second somebody would leave, that quality control, they would switch from a spool of UV free fabric to a spool of fabric that had
UV.
UV in it, and he
Wow.
said they'd take a black light. He actually showed us, took us into a closet, showed us like a shirt, and the pocket was glowing because that pocket came from a different material, and the sleeve was different. And that's something that you can do with an e easily with a black light.
Yeah.
And that's the one thing that I found fascinating, and one thing that I always was interested in is, we know they can see farther into that UV spectrum, so it only makes sense that, yeah, my camo might be great. Like, to me, it looks great, and I sit in a bush, and my buddy says, oh, I can't see you, but you also got to keep in mind that their eyes are completely different than ours, and
Yeah,
what they can see
that's
and what they can pick up.
and they all have said out there, and as you think about it more and more, a lot of the camouflage that's on the market isn't directed at deer hunting. We had an instance where Jesse and I, he's one of a buddy of mine that helps me with all this, and we go out and hunt together. He was up in a stand and he had a two doe come out, and they immediately looked at him and blew, and he couldn't figure out why. But once he used the thing we're going to discuss, then he realized the camouflage he was wearing wasn't proper for that tree he was up against. He was sticking out like a sore thumb.
So let's talk about that. Jonathan has come up with an app. It's a free app. You can find it on the, I think it's Apple. You just look
App
for
Store and Google
the
Play.
App
It's
Store and
everywhere.
Google. It's called Deer's Eye View. So tell us about the app, how it works, and how you came up with it.
Well, we've been talking about it right here. You can, kind of like just interest piqued. How in the world can't the deer see me when I'm wearing this orange? It was really the question and why I went with it. But me and a buddy, Kevin, we were sitting out South Texas. We're just in Carrizo Springs, and I said, "Man, one day I'm gonna come up with an app called Deer's Eye View. Kind of like Bird's Eye View. I'm gonna call it Deer's Eye View and prove that whether or not they can see that orange." Well, but time and years goes by, it just kind of sat there in my head, and I decided to do something about it. So here we
So
are.
how does it work? What do you, what does somebody do? They download the app, now what?
download the app. It's on your phone, like I said, Apple and Google Play, and then you just, do your usual login type stuff. No, we don't sell subscriptions or do any of that. I don't know what people even do with that. I wouldn't know how to figure out if I tried. But
You're
you
like
download.
me. I'm like I don't know what.
Yeah, I don't even know. Somebody's like, "Oh, it's a scam." I'm like, "I wouldn't even know how to scam you." So anyway, you download the app, and then you just select the animal. And we're coming out with new animals all the time. So, for instance, deer. You just after you put in your information, then it'll just prompt you and it'll give you a list of animals with pictures of them. You just pick one, and then your camera turns into an AI version of the animal vision. And with AI powered, I've got a team of five engineers, or a marketing developer, and a British guy. And they're behind me on it, and the five engineers will spend each 90 hours per animal each.
Wow.
Research on it, and I mean, Georgia Deer Institute, that's a big one. I believe it's called Deer Institute. There's tons of research out of that. I mean,
Yeah,
there's a wealth.
they've done a lot of work, I know, specifically on deer vision.
Absolutely, yeah. So that's where we went for a lot of it. And then after that, I mean, people say, "Well, then what do I use it for?" Really, whatever you want. Because, we have deer, we have a largemouth bass. So just imagine going in Bass Pro Shops and you're looking at the lures. Everybody's talked about, I mean, since I was a kid, I got spinner baits and I made sure I got the chartreuse on it. Well, if you look through the vision, it doesn't really show that chartreuse. It looks more like a white. So I think bass like white.
That's a really good point.
Yeah.
I am not a fisherman hardly. I'm a
I'm really not much either, but I'm
meat
getting into
fisherman
it
at
more.
most, and I was looking at the lures yesterday, and they had here's one that looks like a bluegill, here's one that looks like a shad, here's one that's orange. And I was actually thinking about that. It's like, well, what difference would it make? I mean, you know what I'm saying? And then I know my
Well, as a
buddies say,
cat,
well, some days we'll hit this and some days we'll hit that. I was like, why would that be? But
the sun shining through the water, like today it's an overcast type of day, versus a shiny one, I guess. But we had a catfish and we had to go back and change it because we had it very vibrant. Because there's a lot of contradicting research out there. Some people just say what they think they know, and then you go and you find the actual people that did the research. Those are the ones that are tough to find, but we find them. Well, with the catfish at first, we're off with the people that didn't know what they were saying, and we had this wild rainbow vision. And then we came back. Catfish don't have crazy vision. It's gray. They're down in the muck and all that. Why would God need to create them with crazy
and they have
vision?
tiny little eyes too, don't they? I
They
mean,
got them little antennas out here doing all that stuff. That's how they guide themselves. So, we were like, duh. But
that
at
is really
first,
cool. And I was actually also reading on your site that you have it for pet owners as well.
I just came out with cat and dog vision. I put canine slash cat or dog and then feline slash cat. And on the app, we have it based more around like a hunting, I guess image on the whole app, but I put a coyote on one, a bobcat on the other. But I mean, we're all descendants of wolves, and we're not finding any research showing that, let's say, a coyote we see any different than a chocolate lab. So, with that being said, we would just launch those now, and their colors are blue and yellow. They're heavy. And you ever notice at the dog race, those little dog shows, where the lady's running with them, tell them to hop over this, those tracks are blue and yellow?
Okay, makes
Yeah.
sense.
Yeah.
That
And a
makes a
tennis
lot of
ball.
sense. And I can just start to think of all these different applications. Like you mentioned turkey hunting, that would be really good. Like, okay, me and Ian are going turkey hunting. Hey, go sit down there and now I'm going to pull up the app and this is what you're going to look like if you're just sitting up against that tree.
Yep.
Maybe we need to brush that in a little bit more. Maybe we need to do something else. That is
And
really cool.
if you're far away too, we added the capability to where so you can take a picture with the image with the vision, and then you can text it to Ian. Or now we just added video capability because before we were having to do a lot of screen recording and all that, it wasn't fun. So now you can switch over and record.
That's pretty cool. Wow.
Yeah.
And the other thing too is like with tree stand placement, how I've always approached it was always off of shadows and shading. Like, so my tree stands normally would be 20 feet high if they're a hang on. But I was always very cognizant of that natural. Pat Reeve taught me this actually like 25 years ago. He learned it from Tom Enderbo over in Buffalo County. But what they did is they based it off the sun position, and then where that tree stand, like when you're up there, if you're just sitting there and you have no natural background, you know, if there's no brush around or trees or branches, you really got to make sure you're tucked in there. I can see that as a very good application for, okay, I'm going to go down to these shooting lanes and see what that looks like, especially with another hunter up there. Because you get 20 feet up in a tree and now you're 20, 30 yards out. Let's face it, your camo at that point's not doing you much. I mean, it's no. probably making you look like a black bear sitting up there, depending, you know.
The silhouette's the biggest thing that I always try and focus on is really the just my silhouette. Like, how can I break the human up against the tree? I mean, I still have a head, you know, so the shapes are still there. So trying to find sticks and the tree stands, I like that when all the branches are there. But you mentioned a lot of bow hunting. I personally don't. I'm more of a rifle guy. Yep. Jesse's the bow guy. But, you know, he getting up in there, sticks you got to watch out for and all that stuff. And like I said, I'm on the ground, man.
Yeah, you're on the ground going after them. This would be that'd be really good, especially for some of my friends up in the Northeast. They're on the ground going after them, gun hunting. For me, I'm and Brad, we're mostly bow hunters, but we do gun hunt. But bow hunting, crossbow hunting, all sorts of different applications there. Deer Talk Now is brought to you by
Moultrie Mobile. The all-new feed hub from Moultrie Mobile is a remote game feed manager that's compatible with all major feeders. Remotely check feed levels, schedule feeding times, and instantly dispense feed directly from the Moultrie Mobile app. For more information, go to MoultrieMobile.com.
How did you, I know you mentioned it before when you said think about it like as a landscape feature when you're talking about deer vision. How did you take into account like the fact that a deer's eyes are set on the side of its head and a little bit back, so their angle is so much different than ours, which is probably much more focused?
Yeah, so they can see, let's just say 300 degrees.
That's what I was going to say. Is it about 300?
300 degrees. Well, I mean, I'm just going to say they can see 360 because all I have to do is just turn their head and they can see everything. So the only thing when they're looking forward, they can't see is their tail. So one slight head movement and they can, you know, that's why you see them moving a lot. Well, with the duck also sees 300 degrees, so does the turkey. I haven't added it to all the, we were trying to make it with those 300 degree vision animals, almost like a panoramic, but we couldn't get the colors to mesh on the panoramic. So what I did was, if you look at the duck on the app, we have two things you can do there. One is 300 degree, and it's basically camera and camera. So you see what's forward and you see yourself, or wherever you want to put it. It gives you the idea of 300. There's only so much you can do with the phone. And then you click the button right there, it'll say switch to color vision, and then it'll switch to that, and it takes you off of 300 degree. So we tried.
Very cool, and so many different, like I said, so especially for these guys who do everything. If you're a duck hunter, if you're a goose hunter, if you're a turkey hunter, deer. What about, like, you mentioned canines. What about, like, coyotes? Have you done much with predators?
Well, that's that's in the canine category. So as far as doing any vision on them, I mean, we looked it up. We just launched the cat and the dog, like, this week, actually.
Oh, okay.
So it's available now. So, yeah, it's there. You know, I do a ton of predator hunting. That's actually my favorite thing to do.
Is it really?
Yeah, my youngest son. We love to go out. He's always after. I'm after a bobcat. They've eluded me so many times, I've never got one. So.
Oh, that's what I was going to say. You have a lot of bobcats down there.
Yeah, but geez Louise, until I got in the thermal world, I couldn't get after them. So I'm just waiting to see another one.
Coyotes, bobcats, what else can you shoot? I think, can you shoot badgers?
Coyote, bobcat, feral hog.
Oh, hogs are awesome.
Fox, gray fox. I shot at a red fox, but it ducked me. They're on the move.
It's the land of opportunity down there in Texas. I hunted down there with Steve and Michelle Anderson. I don't know. That was over, it was by, between Sonora and El Dorado.
Okay.
And, we went out one night. They had a kind of like a bug. You know how you guys have those buggies where you can sit up high?
Yeah.
And we were shooting coons and possums and
top drives.
Oh my gosh. I mean, it was a lot of fun, but they manage their predators seriously down there. And
you have to. The feral hog has no natural predator other than you and I.
Man.
And they reproduce at such a rapid rate. I watched it on the deer lease. One sow had, I want to say there was like 8, 9 of those things running around. And it's just, and they grow like that.
It's almost impossible to wipe them out. It's,
you can't. And I mean, my wife would get mad. She's, why are you shooting those? I'm like, because there's going to be 15 more next year if I don't.
It ruins it. I mean, Florida has the problem. I know Alabama has a problem. Basically, it ruins. Hoppy Kempfer, a friend of mine, he said basically it's like a wave of sadness when it comes across, because your deer hunting is going to be affected. Your turkey hunting is going to be, like, big time affected.
When you come in, you got to kill one, or at least shoot at them. If you kill one, they're smart too.
Yeah.
Hogs, we have hog vision as well, by the way. And they have monocular vision. So these things are intelligent animals.
Wow. So I didn't know that about monocular vision on that. Wow.
Yeah. So, and they can smell like as you would think with their nose.
But that I know.
You shoot one, they're out of there. And we have, when a pack comes in, for those that don't know, what a hog can do to soil for crops, front yard. I mean, just one hog, when he roots just with his snout, or she, they dig a hole kind of like a gopher hole kind of. It doesn't go all the way in, but just imagine all these little mounds, just tons of them in the morning when you wake up, your whole yard's destroyed, or whatever crop you're growing. Yeah, so they're a nemesis.
Nemesis. I've seen it in an orange grove. Were you with me on that one, Ian?
David was.
It was an orange grove where they grew oranges, and it was just like you took a chisel plow through there. It was just unbelievable, and it was overnight. But it's just unbelievably bad.
It's crazy.
Coyotes are another thing. I know in deer country, when they get thick in the southeast, they have huge problems with deer recruitment, or fawn recruitment in areas with coyotes. So here's another a tool in your toolbox. It's called, his name is Jonathan Britton. The app is called Deer's Eye View. Google your Mac, iOS, App Store. You can get it there. Check it out. Jonathan, what about the website? Where can they find you over there?
www.deerseyeview.com, and we're on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, and we're just getting on YouTube. So
okay, get on all of those. You're going to see some cool examples, and then also you're going to get to play around with it for yourself. So check it out, Deer's Eye View. Jonathan, thank you so much for your time. We really appreciate it, and I could sit here and talk geeky stuff with you probably all day, but I think people are going to start tuning out.
Yeah,
maybe not.
Well, I appreciate you having me.
All right, thank you, Jonathan. For Jonathan Britton, I am Dan Schmidt. Thank you for joining us for Deer Talk Now. We'll catch you again next Thursday for a new episode. And be sure, all we ask you to do is like the video. If you're watching the video, subscribe and download all the Deer Talk Now episodes so you can listen to them when you're driving. We'll see you next week for another episode of Deer Talk Now.